Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but hardly duplicated. Get this. I've been knocking out bums for 40 years, right? 4 decades of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a 4-time Golden Glove champion, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer. So I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I'm not the average boxing fan. But is there an average boxing fan in 2025? I really ask that question. Is there an average boxing fan? I mean, you know, the game is like sort of like convoluted now. I mean, you got PBC trying to run in one direction. Of course, Top Rank of Bob Arum, God knows where they're going to go. Of course, the Sheik down there in Saudi Arabia trying to control the world of boxing, along with Dana White, so that doesn't look good. And you know what's funny about all this is that Dana White is not going to work with the sanctioning bodies, wink, wink. He's going to get rid of them as quick as you can. He talked worse about he talked so bad about Mauricio Sulaiman in my presence, okay, that and Jose Sulaiman before that, that I couldn't repeat it. I'm just telling you to put it like that. Dana White doesn't like those people. Whether he wants to make like he does for a little bit, and then, of course, rubs them out, pushes them right out of the picture. That's what's going to happen. Dana White's going to push the sanctioning bodies right out of the picture. The WBC, we beat Canelo, or the world of Bunko and Chicanery, or, of course, the world of bureaucracy and anarchy, the WBA. I mean, come on, man. All these different sanctioning bodies, they've all got their own motives. Of course, the WBC, they favor Mexican fighters. Why? They're based in Mexico. The WBA, they favor South American fighters. Why? They're based in South America. The International Boxing Federation, they favor black fighters. Why? Because their founder told me that black fighters weren't getting an even break. So because of the WBA and the WBC, so he started that. So what I'm trying to tell you is right now there's 4 belts running around. Of course, the WBO, the last of the 4 belts, is from the island of Puerto Rico, of course, headed formerly by Francisco Parker-Sell. They got a new president now. But the bottom line is the WBO, they were just like 4 disgruntled WBA guys. They were disgruntled. They got high one night, so they got disgruntled, say, you know, we're going to start our own organization. So they started the WBO. Basically, it's 4 shakedown groups. Shake them down. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Listen up, fellow Gen Xers. Elizabeth Banks here. The recommended age for pneumococcal pneumonia vaccination has been lowered to 50 and older, even if you're healthy. It's up to us to lead the way. We've done this before. Music videos, fanny packs, even the World Wide Web. Let's do it again and get vaccinated, because we're at over 6 times greater risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Gen X, this is our shot. Visit VaxAssist.com and schedule a vaccine today. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? okay? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
This is J.D. Sharp. I've been developing a revolutionary sports handicapping service, and you can be a part of the beta. Sign up at BetUS.com with a deposit of as little as $50 and use the promo code SHARPBETTING. Email a screenshot of your account to WorldwideSharp@gmail.com and I'll reply personally with my plays. My NFL record this season was an industry best 72-33, and this is the only way to know all my plays the moment I make them. Let's keep making money together.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Everybody you name are with me for money and for what they can get. I don't have no friends. I wrote a poem that says, friendship is a priceless gift that cannot be bought nor sold, but its value is far greater than a mountain made of gold. For gold is cold and lifeless. It can neither see nor hear. And in time of trouble, it is powerless to cheer. Gold, it has no ears to listen, no heart to understand. It cannot not bring you comfort or reach out a helping hand. So when you ask God for a gift, be thankful if he sends not diamonds, pearls, or riches, but the love of real, true friends. See, friends are very rare.
12, making 13 minutes past the hour. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live World, emanating, coming at you from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. The impeccable one is in the house. Now, I've got to ask you, because I'll be spending some time in Marin this week spying on people. That's what I do. I spy on people when I'm doing this thing on the weekends. What's the best restaurant I can go to? Italian.
Italian food?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
You had to think about that. You live there, man.
I don't eat a lot of food out. Maybe
you don't. No, wait. Obviously, you look like you don't eat a lot of food.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, bottom line, where am I going?
You go to Pasta Pomodoro in Strawberry.
They're still around?
Are they not? I don't know.
I know. Anyway, you're bringing up a chain that closed 3 years ago.
Oh, no.
It's hysterical. I can't believe that.
I'm telling you.
You brought up a chain that closed 3 years, maybe 5 years ago. It was a great chain. I used to go there all the time. They were all over the place. But, yeah, they closed about 5 years ago. So let me tell you, did you practice that one?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. I don't go out too much.
All right, that's great. Is Sock ready?
Yeah, he's ready.
All right, I'll bring on my next guest, of course, Socrates Palmer, of course, the boxing's PhD, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios here in San Francisco, California. Sock, you there?
Yes, sir. How's it going?
I'm being corrected left and right here by my producer. Of course, can you believe that? He lives in Marin County. He wanted to send me to a restaurant that's been closed 3 years.
Maybe.
Is the guy connected or what?
Well, he said he doesn't eat out a lot, so.
I guess that, but, you know, maybe I didn't eat out too much when I was a teenager, a young man either, so bottom line is I guess you're right. Anyway, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you?
That's pretty good. All right, let's talk about, somebody sent me a letter last night, a little note last night, and they asked me to ask Tommy D, and of course Tommy D is off today because his sister-in-law or somebody in the family passed away. We wish him we offer our deepest condolences there, but Artur Beterbiev, did he finally show his age in that fight with Dmitry Bivol?
No, I think he just lost. You know, I think that I got to give credit to Bivol. He made the adjustments, he showed a lot of grit. You know, there was a point in the fight that I thought that he was going to start to fold, but no. You know, he was a little sharper, and he got the well-earned decision. Although Beterbiev, to me, you know, didn't show any type of rust or age. I think he just got beat.
All right, I'm lambasting my producer as I'm talking to you, and he and I are laughing back and forth there because he missed a cue a little bit earlier, and I wanted to laugh on that one. Anyway, Saka, I gotta ask you this. You know, why hasn't Lamont Roach Sr. or the father or something like that, why haven't they went out and got one of the best boxing attorneys in the world and sued the New York State Athletic Commission? Because let me tell you, it's not a matter of whether or not it happened. Gervonta Davis took a knee, stopped the fight, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there should have been something going on there. It should have been either 2 points or a point or something like that. Something should have been done by the referee, Steve Willis, I believe was his name. So he sort of choked, but that wasn't cool. And you can't say that's the referee's discretion. That's a violation of the rule. So I think I could take that to court. I think I could win in court with that. Do you think Lamont Roach can?
You know, unless they spoke to him on the side and said, hey, let this go,
you're not seeing my point. The point is, it happened. First of all, the New York State Athletic Commission said, guess what? The instant replay, it was broken, right? Well, so what? You can go. There's a TV screen. They're running this thing live on TV. You walk over and watch their screen if you want. Okay?
Yeah.
So they could have done that. They didn't want to. And the mere fact that they didn't try to correct it afterwards, they sort of glossed over. And, you know, I just think that if ever there was a time, I can't remember the guy's name right now, but there was a good Jewish lawyer that was on the East Coast, and he was representing a whole lot of people in boxing. Can't remember his name right now, but I think he could win with this case. I don't think it's a tough case. I think all you got to do is play the videotape.
Yeah, there was a miscarriage of justice. You're spot on that the referee's discretion. Right. If that's the case, that what's the difference between the ref counting to 8 instead of 10 and counting the guy out, right? I mean, he missed the rule. He choked. Steve Willis had a bad night. And the New York State Athletic Commission, they could have written a wrong. You know, they could have, at worst, made the fight a no contest or a draw. You know, some people say, hey, you know, what if Tank Davis would have came on? We don't know that. That's playing hypothetical games, you know?
You know, the other according to the fans of BoxRec.com, and of course, those are the boxing fanatics, they had a 117-111 for Roach.
Wow, that's pretty wide. I don't know if it's that wide.
No, I know it wasn't that wide, but I'm trying to tell you is that's the they get see what happened was a lot of times the masses get underdog-itis. You know what that is?
When
a guy that's not supposed to win is sort of like winning, and it's like they're freaking out about it. You know what I'm saying? And they don't want to. They either overcredit them or they undercredit them. Bottom of there's no medium. There's no objectivity. They're emotionally involved.
When the underdog exceeds expectations. Yes, I think we do. I think it's just by nature we give him more credit than he deserved. But I thought Roach won the fight. You know, I really do. I think he won the fight. I thought Tank was not at his best. And obviously that knockdown should have been counted. And that's the difference in the scorecards.
And I'll go back to it. It's not difficult to prove. All you've got to do is go to court and bring the film with you. Why? I mean, why is there even any debate on this? Why hasn't Roach went forward? Is Roach being coaxed by people in the PBC and this and that? Don't start any trouble. We'll try to make a rematch today, because you know they really don't want to gloss. They really don't want to damage the value of Gervonta Davis anymore. But I think it's damaged.
I think that's a big part of the reason. You know, I think if Roach was part of another promotion, I think you would have seen more dust kicking up. If, you know, originally he was with Golden Boy. I remember if he was still with them or Top Rank or another big promotion. I think we definitely would have seen more noise. But okay. It's house, like you said, hey, you know, we'll run it back.
Okay. 154 pounds, super welterweight, outside of Terrence Crawford. This is going to talk about Crawford just for a second. Of course, Crawford going to take on Canelo in September, or is it September down in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, it's supposed to be it after Canelo takes care of a skull.
You mean after he gets some skull? I mean, that's basically what it blows down. I mean, that, you know what? And poor William Scull, I saw a quote by him yesterday, of course. He said, listen, I feel really disrespected. They planned this fight ahead of me with Crawford, this and that. I really feel disrespected, this and that. Well, man, you can do something about that. You can step on his foot and hit him on the chin. I'm talking about stepping on Canelo's foot and hitting him on the chin.
He does have a certain say about it, right? He's got, at minimum, he's got 36 minutes to do something about it. You know, so let's see if he is able to hit the lotto.
Okay, let's go to 154 pounds for a second. Terrence Crawford, Virgil Ortiz, Bakram Moraes, whatever the name is. I think he's the IBF title holder, 32 years old, from Oxnard, California, of all places, out by way of Russia, of course, 23 and zip, 32 years old. Xander Zayas, Boricek, and Keith Thurman. Hey, did Keith Thurman's win down there in Australia surprise you?
I think he looked okay for someone who has been inactive. You know, the guy that he fought, limited skills, but, you know, he was young. He fought young, a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to give Keith Thurman some credit. You know, he stopped him. And do I think Keith Thurman is now, does this make him a player at 54? No. You know, but it's a good name to have on your resume.
Okay, you know, now this is a question I've got for you, a $64,000 question. Did Keith Thurman go out and smoke weed in the Australian woods before the fight?
I don't think before the fight. I don't think he would have performed as good as he did. No, I can't see him doing that before the fight.
He was, you know, he's a meditation guy. You know that, right? He goes out. He goes and gets stoned in the forest in the woods. I don't know. That's not my thing. But the bottom line is, that's what his thing is. So back to this guy at 154. Bakram, 23 and zip, 17 KOs. I think this guy is really the underdog, the guy that beat Tim Zhu in the last fight in a three-round KO. But I think he's like the unknown commodity at 154. I think it might be the best at 154, and he's being overlooked.
Well, he's the one with the limited marketability. You know, he's promoted by Main Event. He whacked Tim Zhu, you know, kind of took Tim Zhu out of contention. And he's probably too good for his own good. You know, it's like risk-reward. Do I think that he beats Virgil Ortiz? I don't think so. But I think that he's someone that you only fight him unless you have to. You know, he's not going to make you any money.
Okay. Speaking of Virgil Ortiz, he probably looked the best on that card, that recent super card, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, especially considering the opponent. You know, he certainly beat Madrimov better than Terrence Crawford did. I think that, you know, he's reaching his physical peak. You know, I think that he's someone that can burst into a star. Unfortunately, he's not going to get the chance at Crawford, or at least not now. But okay. I think he's really the best at 54.
Last question before I let you go. Was that card just too much? I mean, come on, man. I mean, way too much. I mean, you know, I know a couple of boxing freaks, but I don't know any freaks that watch the entire card on TV. Out here in California, that fight from Saudi Arabia started at 7:30 in the morning. At 7:30 in the morning, the impeccable one hasn't even gotten out of bed yet.
That is a long night of fights.
And it ran all the way until like 6 o'clock Pacific time. That's like almost 11 hours.
Yeah, it was a lot. You know, even for the biggest boxing fan to commit.
Imagine if you were in the arena. I mean, you know, they should have had beds. They should have had beds in the lobby.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know,
cots!
Especially with the card, you know, kind of falling apart.
Well, I'll put it to you like this. If that was Atlantic City in the 80s, all right, oh, my God, you'd have, like, senior citizens going absolutely berserk. Of course, that was a big part of the boxing crowd back in the days. Now, one more question before I let you go. Is the boxing crowd getting younger? Are we acquiring young fans for the boxing community? In other words, is the sport sucking in new fans, or is it just doing its own thing, just barely getting by?
I think it depends who's fighting. You know, there's certain fighters that do bring a quote-unquote young crowd. Tank Davis, Ryan Garcia, Jake Paul. Yeah, they bring the younger fan, absolutely. So that's why, you know, part of the reason I think Jake Paul is good for the sport. But is it mostly middle-aged men? Yes. And also a factor is the gambling aspect. You know, these sports apps, you know, boxing is something you can bet on. And unfortunately, it's kind of you know, starting to creep into the minds of young people, and that's also a factor in terms of bringing fan base.
Good enough, Sock. Have a great day. Hug the wife. We'll talk real soon. Oh, and say hello to Sebastian for me.
I certainly will, my brother. Thank you very much for having me on.
Have a great day. Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, of course, appears Saturday exclusively on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the Saturday edition, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. each time on these same stations. Live Worldwide, Ring Talk returns after this.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Now you can get the incredible weight loss results that thousands of people have had with the top name brand prescription weight loss products, all in the comfort of your own home. With this free offer from New Hope Weight Loss, yes, generic versions of the popular weight loss prescription products are available now by you simply making a phone call. You'll save hundreds of dollars over traditional retail pricing. When you call right now, you'll speak with one of our virtual doctors and they'll provide your prescription and we'll send you your medication. It's that easy. And you'll be on your way to your weight loss journey in a matter of days. And when you order today, we'll waive the $100 doctor's fee. This product is not covered by your insurance. It's only $199 a month. Call right now to learn more.
800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. That's 800-281-8944.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The late Biggie Smalls, the only rapper I knew. I take that back. I met Puff Daddy once. I thought he was a piece of work. I thought he was security. He got all pissed off like I offended him. So what? Offending Puff Daddy is something, you know, offending people is something I have done on occasion in my lifetime, believe it or not. Anyway, I'll tell you this. Earlier, I must have offended Michael Nunn. Michael Second Nunn, the former middleweight champion of the world, former light heavyweight champion of the world. I think he won two titles or maybe a super middleweight title. Anyway, bottom line is he was Michael the Second Nunn. Of course, he came to us from the 10 Goose boxing stable out of Reseda, California. Of course, Dan Goosen was the president and the promoter. Of course, his brother, Joe Goosen, was a trainer. And, of course, I watched Michael Nunn after Bob Serkine, his agent, his advisor, was an amateur, got him to sign with Dan Goosen. Now, the reason why Serkine thought it was so important that he signed with a West Coast promoter was that it would take Michael Nunn out of Davenport, Iowa, where his hometown was, because he believed that Michael Nunn was either going to get killed or go to jail in Davenport, Iowa. That's what Bob Serkine told me to my face. Anyway, bottom line is Michael Nunn retires. He goes back to, guess where? Davenport, Iowa. Within 3 months, he's locked up and charged with a cocaine violation, and he spends 10 years in prison. I kid you not. So he spent 10 years in the slam. So he gets out, he gets about a year and a half ago. And I said hello to him basically on Facebook a couple of times. And earlier today, I said, well, actually, for a couple of weeks now, I've been saying to him, hey, come on the show. You know, let's do some radio together, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, I finally got a hold of him today. He said to me, call him, on Facebook. So I called him on Facebook. He had a Facebook for a conversation. He said to me, Pedro, I need some money. I said, say what? You need some money for what? He goes, I need some money for... He goes, I do any interviews, I need some money. I said, mother ducker, this is Pedro Fernandez. Click, that was that. I mean, could you believe... I couldn't believe he had the audacity, the nerve, the chutzpah. He's black. He had the chutzpah. I mean, you know, black people don't have chutzpah. It's supposed to be reserved to Jewish people and Yiddish people having audacity. But the bottom line is, this young man had chutzpah. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Michael second none. Here's a guy that I was there during his coronation as a professional fighter. I mean, back in the days with the Reseda Country Club, when he sort of made his first Vegas move, of course, fighting in Reno, fighting in Las Vegas. I was there to watch Michael second none. At one point in time, he was second to none. But the bottom line is, when he came across with this, I need some money for an interview, man, I almost lost my cool. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live. Me losing my cool? Who would imagine that? But the bottom line is, speaking of last night, of course, TV happening. Of course, Jonathan Gonzalez-Ortiz came in looking good, 20-0. Not really. He was a welterweight, okay? So he steps up to... From welterweight to super middleweight, that's like from 147 pounds, around 150 pounds, to like 168. He takes on Edgar Berlanga. Edgar Berlanga, of course, the chosen one. That's what they call him. Chosen by who? Chosen by who? This guy, talk about delusional. This guy's delusional. I kid you not. Of course, he's ranked in the top five by all these sanctioning bodies or sanctioning mobs. Call them what you want. WBO number 3, BA 5, WBC number 6. At the end of the day, I think that he's a bit of a overrated guy. When I say that, of course, he knocked out Jonathan Gonzalez last night, as I said, a former welterweight, in the first round, knocked him out a couple times. The time was 2 minutes and 31 seconds. So it makes him look like he's Superman all over again, okay? This is the guy that didn't try against Canelo Alvarez. He never threw a punch with bad intentions. Think about that. You go 12 rounds with somebody, and you put in a punk-ass performance, and then you convince the entire world that you won, or you did real well in this net, and they sort of give you a pass. I don't get that. I mean, Puerto Rican fans, I mean, I'm half Puerto Rican. I'm a bit ashamed of Edgar Berlanga. He didn't even step on Canelo's foot and try to hit him on the chin. Didn't tie anything. Didn't throw any punches with bad intentions on. Here's a guy that was knocking people dead. Remember, I mean, when he turned professional, it was like 16-0 with 16 knockouts, all these first-round knockouts, knocking people dead. Yeah, he was knocking guys dead because of good matchmaking. That's what was employed yesterday, good matchmaking. In other words, they found the right guy. They paid him a few bucks. Of course, he had, according to Socrates, Boxing's PhD, who just left us, he told us yesterday that Ortiz had a drug problem going in and has all kinds of issues. At one point in time, he was a stellar amateur fighter. That was a long time ago. The bottom line is, he lasted 2 minutes and 31 seconds last night. I wouldn't say more power to Berlanga, but, you know, I guess when you're building this illusion and you've got a whole lot of people believing this stuff, and in the world of this, there's no media anymore. I mean, there's no New York Times. Speaking of Phil Berger had some type of anniversary yesterday. I think it was his birthday or something like that. But the bottom line is, he was a former New York Times boxing writer. But I mean, there's no Phil Berger anymore. There's no Mike Marley. There's no Jack Fisk in the Chronicle. There's no Earl Gutsky in Los Angeles, the LA Times. There's nobody controlling or monitoring the boxing world anymore. There is no world of journalism. There's nobody that... I mean, you know, YouTube, Devin Haney's father, Bill Haney, not my favorite guy, without a doubt. But what he did was he got together all the YouTube guys. That's what he called the press conference. He didn't call any of the major newspapers. I guess there are no more magazines, although Ring Magazine's coming back. Of course, the Sheik's got that together. He got that tied up. Another thing, you know, he's got Ring Magazine. He's buying all these different entities up. He's trying to suck up the entire world of boxing. Of course, if he and Dana White do control boxing the way that Dana White controls the world of mixed martial arts, fighters aren't going to get paid. They just aren't. I mean, John Jones, I mean, God knows he's like the Superman of all MMA. I mean, he's a guy, the heavyweight champion of the UFC, or a former. I don't know what's going on with his title. But the bottom line is, at one point in time, he was the light heavyweight champion. Never lost a fight except for the time he was disqualified for elbowing some guy on the floor. It was a foul. But the bottom line is, outside of that, he had a perfect record at 205 pounds as a light heavyweight. Stepped up to heavyweight, I thought he was going to have some problems. He annihilated everybody put in front of him. I mean, it hasn't even been close. What I'm trying to tell you is that John Jones would be the but like the most recognized face in the history of the history of MMA. And he's not, because he won't kiss Dana White's ass. Kissing Dana White's ass is the key to success in the world of mixed martial arts. I don't want that to be the key to success in the world of boxing. I mean, it's never been that way. Maybe you had to kiss King's ass a little bit, but King had something to win from you. In other words, you know, King and you had to work together. Aram and you had to work together because, you know, you're trying to get as much money as you can for a fight. They're trying to give you as least as they can. But there's negotiations going back and forth. There really isn't a negotiation involving Dana White. In fact, I think Dana White says, we should fight all the fighters, share a profit. The fighters, if they share a profit of the money, why is it that none of them are retired and rich? Think about that. Chuck Liddell, the former light heavyweight champion, an icon of the world of mixed martial arts and the UFC, of course, in the early days, he's broke. He stumbled around. He's got punch drunk syndrome. I take it back. He appears to have punch drunk syndrome. What does that mean? That means like he's slow from boxing. I'm from boxing, from MMA. Listen, boxing is tough. Football's tough. MMA's tough. Of all the three of them, I think the football's the toughest. I think MMA's second. I think boxing's a slow third. And why do I say that? Because, you know, you see the guys take hits in football. I mean, you know, time after time after time, boom, 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 you're hitting helmet against helmet. That ain't good. Your head's not going to be good after getting your brain jostled around like that. Okay? Straight up, in the world of mixed martial arts, you're getting hit when you're on the ground. I don't think, that's just not fair. You can't even move your head. You can't move it because there's nowhere to go. You're just going to get hit. You're a sucker. I mean, this is the way it is. So what I'm trying to tell you is that this brain damage caused by guys getting hit on the ground and pound, call it what you want, I think is detrimental to the world of mixed martial arts. I think you'll see it 10 years down the road, and maybe 15 or 20 years from now, maybe when I'm long gone, hopefully not. Bottom line is they'll be saying, you know what? That MMA, it should have been banned from the start. That Dana White was a con man. Straight up, he was. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. My name is Pedro Fernandez. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you from the city by the bay, San Francisco, California, where yesterday had St. Patrick's Day. So I asked my producer what's going on in the city. He doesn't know. He's got to be Irish because I smell booze on him all the time. Straight up, this is Ring Talk.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
And all these fighters that are, you know, they share in the revenue. They do share in the revenue. They have they have the upside in the pay-per-view, you know?
Did you hear him stutter? Did you hear that? Did you hear him stutter? Did you hear that? Yeah, Dana couldn't believe the spit he was saying either. Straight up, that was Dana White, of course, talking about the split that goes down between MMA fighters and the UFC. It doesn't happen. Bottom line, let's talk about some of the results last night. Top-ranked middleweight, talking top 10 middleweight, called Austin Ammo Williams, calling him AA, 18-1 now, 12 KOs, a 12-round winner over Patrice Volney. Volney came in at 19-1, left 19-2, 13 KOs. That was Saturday night at the Caribbean Hotel. That was in Orlando, Florida. Of course, the competitive fight scores of 118-110, 116-112, 115-113. And probably his last fight with Matchroom, of course, Berlanga was a winner. I keep saying, if Berlanga was here right now, I'd ask him, man. I said, what's up with you? I mean, come on, man. Like, you're trying to con Puerto Rican people. You know what? I think he's got a team of publicists. Some of these guys get publicists, I kid you not. Or they get an online team, and then they start, like, flooding YouTube and flooding Facebook and this and that. And they flood them with all these fake articles and fake raps and fake posts and this and that. And I think that's exactly what Edgar Berlanga was doing. Bottom line is, also on the same card, his pro debut, U.S. Olympian super middleweight Omari Jones, now 1-0 with 1 KO, scored a second-round referee stoppage over outgun Alicio Mastronesio. Of course, Mastronesio coming in 14-5 with 4 KOs. The key thing there was 4 KOs. Anyway, time was 22 seconds of the second round. Of course, former super lightweight title challenger, talk about Jermaine Martinez. He's from New York City, 19-2, 9 KOs. Can't punch. That's always going to be his problems. He can't punch. Hey, he scored a big decision last night over a guy by the name of Yomar Alamo. Came in a decent record, 22-3, left 22-4, 99-91, 98-92, and 99-91. Now, Amado Vargas is the younger brother of Fernando Vargas Jr. Of course, Fernando Vargas Jr., of course, is, how could I put this, named after his father. Father, of course, is the former world title holder, Fernando Vargas, who failed miserably against Tito Trinidad because of the fact that, you know, he was getting arrested and the Duvas gambled him. They threw him into the fire too quick. Why do I say that? Because he was a guy that was running around Southern California causing all kinds of problems, drinking, doing, you know, getting high, having problems, getting fun, but he was getting involved with guns and violence and things like that as well. Of course, there was some domestic issues, and at the end of the day, the San Bernardino Sheriff's Department, I think, took him into custody. So after they took him into custody, the Duvas, Dan Duva, I think, not, it wasn't Dan Duva at the time, of course, Kathy Duva, his wife and the one that runs main events. Anyway, they made a decision they were going to sacrifice him right then and there. They had to get their promotional investment out of him, and it didn't look like they were going to get it because he was getting busted. He was running around the streets. So anyway, they threw him with Trinidad, and he wasn't ready for Trinidad. And of course, Trinidad lit him up like a White House Christmas tree, of course. And the rest of that was history as far as Vargas was concerned. He had that one big no-man against Oscar De La Hoya, but then he was on steroids. I mean, come on, man. He had the first round against Oscar. Let me tell you. He should be arrested for impersonating a professional fighter. Talk about Fernando Vargas, the former champion. Why do I say it? Because he didn't finish Oscar in that first round. I mean, tremendous guts Oscar displayed, but he was there to be taken. He was there to be taken. Somehow Vargas choked in that first round. He was on steroids. I mean, the knockout, if he had knocked out De La Hoya, would have been, you know, terminated because of the fact he was on steroids. And he was on some performance-enhancing drugs, I think one or two different banned substances. But the bottom line is, Fernando Vargas wasn't the greatest fighter in the world, or he could have been, but the bottom line is he had a street problem, so they threw him in too early. Anyway, looks like now one of his sons, Amado Vargas, is trying to make his world and make his way in the world of boxing. Of course, I think he was a winner this weekend, but you know, I looked at his competition, the guy he's fighting. Well, the first guy he fought was 0-2, then he went 1-1, then he went 0-4, then 1-3, then 1-1, then 1-3, then 5-9, then 2-4, then 11-20, then 4-1, then 7-0-1, and 8-2. What I'm trying to tell you is he's fought more stiffs than the impeccable one. I mean, come on, man. I mean, I want to talk about these guys. Bums? No, come on. Think about that. These records, 11-20, 2-4, 5-9. That, I mean, some people say that's the way you learn in the world of boxing. I don't think you learn too much beating up on stiffs. I really don't think so. I mean, if that was the case, I learned in the gym. Beating up on stiffs in the gym, okay? You learn more in the gym. But he's got to make a living, right? He's got to make some money. Bottom line is, kids out of Oxnard, California, I don't think too much of him. In fact, you know, when you look at the current crop of fighters that are coming up that, like, were brothers or sons and that kind of stuff, you know, the apple falls far from the tree when it comes to the world of boxing. I mean, look at Joe Frazier Sr. Joe Frazier, 1964 Olympic gold medalist, world heavyweight champion, of course, March 8th, 1971. Of course, just a few days back when he celebrated the anniversary of him knocking down Muhammad Ali, hurting him in the 11th round, knocking him down in the 15th round. But Joe Frazier was the world heavyweight champion, 1964 Olympic gold medalist. I mean, God, one of the pound-for-pound heavyweights. Hey, what happened to him? He had a great son. Yeah, I mean, his son was a good guy, this and that, but he couldn't fight. Marvis Frazier couldn't fight, couldn't lick a stamp. I saw him fight James Bonecrusher Smith, or Bonehugger Smith, when he fought Mike Tyson. But he fought Bonecrusher over in Richmond, California. And he got beat, and they gave it to Joe's kid. Of course, Joe Frazier, the world heavyweight champion. Somebody said to me the other day, what did you think of Joe Frazier? You want to play names? Joe Frazier was a good guy to be around at times. When I say at times, is he was a split personality. And a lot of it had to do with alcohol. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, when you walked into a dressing room and the Joe was involved, especially in the later years, you smelled booze because he was always drinking. He was always, like Pernell Whitaker, hate to say it, but he was always drinking. Some guys just have a propensity. They're just alcoholics. There's nothing you can do about it. Joe Frazier had a bad, bad booze problem, okay, in his latter years. Of course, him and that Vaughn Bean debacle down there in Atlanta, Georgia, when he fought Evander Holyfield, I think, or the second or third time. I don't know why Vaughn Bean got too many title fights, but he was in the corner of Vaughn Bean that night, and he was calling the referee all kinds of racial slurs. And, of course, I walked into the dressing room, and I said to myself, who's drinking? Because, you know, when you walk in the room, boom, you get hit in the face with booze, like, boom, what the hell's going on? And Vaughn Bean was just sitting there chilling out. Of course, Joe Frazier and Butch Lewis were drunk as a skunk. So what I'm trying to tell you is that Joe Frazier had a split personality, but Joe could fight and his son couldn't fight. And that sort of seems the way it is. Of course, Muhammad Ali's grandson, Ali Nico Walsh, just lost his second fight a few weeks ago. Of course, he's a really a nice kid. He's going to the University of Las Vegas. I think he's majoring in, I forget what he's majoring in, but the bottom line is he's doing well in school. And I told him, you know what, concentrate on school. I told him this a couple years ago, concentrate on school, put boxing on the back burner. He goes, I can't do that. So they offered him a fight with Jake Paul, and he turned it down. He could have made $4 or $5 million with Jake Paul from fight Jake Paul, unless he, and still, he lost, are you ready for this, for $35,000. So he could have made millions of bucks fighting Jake Paul. If he had lost to Jake Paul, he said, I would have tarnished the name of Ali. Not really. Ali fought. Muhammad Ali did a thing with Antonio Inokoi, of course, the MMA guy or the professional wrestler over there in Japan. He did a thing with Gorilla Monsoon. So he's done some things as far as martial events are concerned. So he could have done that and got away with it. Bottom line is he chose not to. Pound for pound right now, the Noah Inouye, of course, the world 122-pound champion out of Japan, of course, coming to us from 115, 118, 122 pounds now. Of course, he's a champion I think that's going to peak out probably at 126. People say he can go to 130. I don't think so. But the bottom line is he's coming to San Francisco. He's coming to Vegas May the 4th. May the 4th is going to be one hell of a weekend as far as Las Vegas is concerned. Of course, Las Vegas will be May the 4th. May the 3rd will be Saudi Arabia if Terrence Crawford and William and Canelo Alvarez hook it up. Of course, William Skoll will have something to do with that May the 3rd. We'll see if he has anything to do with that whatsoever. But the bottom line is, you know, he's in a position where he could be the spoiler of all spoilers. We'll talk about William Skoll. And you know what? Canelo's gone. He's not what he once was. In fact, you know, Berlanga, of course, he fought Canelo recently and didn't do too well, didn't win a minute of any round, didn't try. You got to try against Canelo. In other words, if you go out there and like Jaime Munguia, he didn't try against Canelo anyway. And get this. I've never heard of this before, but Canelo bought Jaime Munguia. Munguia made big money for that fight, which Canelo, made a couple million bucks. And Canelo bought him $150,000 race car, like a sports car after that. what's up with that? It's like, you didn't hurt me, you didn't try, you know, so I'm going to give you $150,000. I've never heard of a guy bonusing his opponent before, unless something was on the, something was on, you know, under the table. Think about that. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Little name games here. I got a couple of texts coming in here. Hector Camacho. Yes, I miss a Harlem Heckler. Of course, he was a guy that won championship at 130, 135, 140, and I maybe had some fringe titles at 147, like this and that. But he never really got beat up in his career, but he was a Harlem Heckler without a doubt. He liked that nickname. And, of course, it was cocaine that brought him to an end. It was just coke. I mean, he had a coke problem. I mean, at one point in time, do we have that Camacho clip lined up? Let's roll that right now when you get a chance. Tell me when you're answering. All right, go it.
There was always something about Hector that was a lot of fun. You're always happy to see him.
Did you give the dogs names, or did you find out what their names were?
No, that was good as mush.
He was hard not to like. But before the night of the fight, we got a call in our hotel. One of his handlers, in great stress, said, you know, you've got to come over here. We'll get him on the phone. He's trying to jump out a window. And he was completely out of his mind, drug-wise. You know, talked him out of it, calmed down, and they got him out of the danger. And then the concern was, how's he going to be fight time?
Tim, this is by far the most dangerous opponent that Camacho has faced.
And the next day, you wouldn't have known anything had happened.
Camacho told me he's going to go right out and jump on him in the first round. Let's see if he does it.
There was domination there. He threw the punches he wanted to throw, moved the way he wanted to move, and did what he wanted to do.
Oh, solid left uppercut. And down goes Montez. He is in trouble. And it is all over. Next to Camacho.
A startling first round knockout.
And he showed everything that he could be. The superstar that he could be.
And there is chaos in the ring.
We were grateful for the fact that he had recovered and that the fight went on, but it was a source of great concern to us from that point forward because we knew he was dealing, you know, with the demons.
Of course, Hector Camacho, the Harlem Heckler, had a severe cocaine problem. That's how he died. But I'm looking at his career here. Of course, the last fight was Saul Duran. He lost a 10-round decision. That was back in 2010. But Hector Camacho turned pro, I think, in 1980. That's a long time, 30 years of pro. He never really got beat up as far as, take that back, Oscar De La Hoya beat him up a little bit. And, of course, Julio Cesar Chavez beat him up back in 1992. That was one hell of a fight. I remember Don King hired me to do some PR for him, and I told you this tough story over and over and over again. But I'll never forget is that Don King was drinking whiskey with me. I didn't drink whiskey, but he did, up until 3:30 in the morning. We were doing these 10-minute radio broadcasts all around the world, like Poland and Turkey and all these different places, okay? We're doing these international broadcasts from the Las Vegas Hilton from the press room, right? So it's me and DK on headsets, okay? So DK's going back and forth, so he's drinking all this whiskey. I mean, he must drink like... He drank like half a bottle in front of me like in an hour and a half. I kid you not. So anyway, he's drunk. He's having a good time. And he's like, you know, being Don King. And I said, man, it's 3:30 in the morning. I'm going to bed. So I went to bed at 3:30. And guess what? I told the stewardess, the lady handling the operator. I said, listen, don't let anybody call the cops. Do not disturb the whole night. She said, okay. Guess what? Don King got through. He called me about 5:30 in the morning. He said, Pedro, let's go to work. I said, you got to be kidding me. I took the phone off the hook and never put it back. But the bottom line is, he's the hardest working man in show business. At one point in time, he was the world's greatest promoter. But at this point in time, at 92 years old, his arch enemy or his rival, I'm talking about the former U.S. attorney himself, Mr. Bob Arum, of course, the guy that graduated the top of his law school back in 1958 from Harvard University. I mean, he was considered... an incredible attorney. Of course, he was the guy that was with Bobby Kennedy and John Kennedy back in 1960 when Kennedy took office as president, the 35th president. Of course, then he went to work for the U.S. Justice Department as a U.S. attorney, and he got turned on to boxing because he went to the Floyd Patterson-Sonny Liston match. He saw the revenues turned in by closed-circuit television, the money generated by closed-circuit television, which is yesterday's version of today's pay-per-view. In other words, making millions of bucks. So Bob Arum said to himself, you know what? I'm not long for being a lawyer when I can make millions promoting boxing. When it happens, he got hooked up with Muhammad Ali, and that was the end of it. Of course, the rest is history. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624. Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
My thing is that, you know what, we're all straight, so we know, like you said, nobody deserves to go out like this. And unfortunately, my car was dealt with, you know, having to go out like this. And, well, you know, all I can say is that I had 45 great, great, wonderful years of life. I had 20 good, wonderful, great people behind me throughout my boxing career, which is all the fans, all you guys from the press. You know, I love you guys. I appreciate all the... everything you guys ever did for me.
That was Genaro Hernandez 48 hours before he passed away. Of course, he suffered a rare form of cancer. Former champion at 126, 130 pounds. A good guy, no doubt about that. Of course, only lost two fights in his life. It was both to Hall of Famers and Floyd Mayweather Jr. That was his retirement fight back in 1998. Of course, he lost previously to Oscar De La Hoya. When he went into the De La Hoya fight in 1995, he went in with a broken nose. Not that he would have won, somebody said to me, not that he would have won, but it would have been a little bit more competitive. De La Hoya was 18 and zip, of course, coming up, per se, 130, 135 pounds, but De La Hoya wasn't the fighter he ended up being later in life. I mean, he wasn't mature yet. At that point in time, when Genaro fought him in 1995, he was green. And Genaro went in there with a broken nose. He got his nose broken by Shane Mosley in sparring about a week or 10 days before. But the bottom line is, I say to myself, what was Rudy Hernandez thinking that they had their guy fighting without a full face headgear? I mean, I don't get this. When you see guys getting cut and guys getting hurt and this and that, nose issues and cut lips and ripped lips and this kind of stuff, I don't get it. You don't do that in training. In other words, you put them in a headgear where they're going to protect their face. And, you know, I mean, come on. There was a couple, I can't remember who the fighter was from the UK, but evidently he canceled two fights in a row because of the fact that he couldn't get his act together and not stay uncut between fights. So what I'm trying to tell you is that poor corners. You're just seeing it. The Tim Zhu corner was poor, of course. A lot of the corners you see in boxing now are really not professional, per se. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, I got to work around guys like Eddie Futch and Angelo Dundee and things like that. When they did things, things were a lot more different. They were professional. You just sort of, there was a rhyme to their reason. Nowadays, guys just do things because they do them. Straight up, hour number two coming up on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. After the news here at the top of the hour, 5 or 6 minutes on our own, but we come back at 12:06 Pacific Time or 3:06 Eastern Time with hour number two of Ring Talk Live. Well, until then, it's in the impeccable one's hands. Take it away, Bailey Peck.
Shorts, I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico Insurance and Geico.com. The latest in NFL news includes former Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp agreeing with terms with the Seattle Seahawks on a contract for 3 years worth up to $45 million. On the court, NBA action, a big slate out of yesterday. Pacers on the road against 76ers take it 112-100. Celtics win over the Heat 103-91. Clippers take the W over the Hawks 121-98. Cavaliers travel to Grizzlies territory and win 133-124. Timberwolves at home get a W against the Magic 118-111. Hornets over the Spurs 145-134. Rockets blast off to a win over the Mavs 133-96. Raptors get a W against the Jazz 126-118. Nuggets beat the Lakers 131-126. And the Sun shining bright in a win over the Kings 122-106. A few games on the ice on the NHL scoreboard. The Hurricanes double the Red Wings score in a win at home 4-2. Oilers and Islanders all the way into overtime. Oilers take it 2-1. Jets dominate the Stars in a big win 4-1. Avalanche over the Flames 4-2. Kraken versus the Utah Hockey Club mirrored that score. Kraken come out on top 4-2 as well. To stay up to date on all things sports and for more sports content, make sure you're following at Sports Overnight America on Instagram and visit our website, sportsovernightamerica.com. That's your sports shorts presented by Geico Insurance. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern Time. And weekend replays, 24/7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Sports in 60 times 2. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico and Geico.com. For the true golf connoisseur, the PGA Tour is still the filet mignon on the golf menu. Even without many of the blockbuster names that have gone to the LIV Tour, the Porterhouse Steak on that menu, the format and decorum that still appeals to most golf fans' lives within the PGA, and so say the TV ratings and the media coverage of both circuits. It was announced back in June of 2023 that the PGA and LIV Tours were on the verge of a merger. But somewhere along the line, the unification process got caught in a pot bunker and could never escape. Fast forward to 2025, and out of the water like an alligator near the infamous par 3 17th Island Green at the TPC Sawgrass comes PGA Commissioner Jay Monahan with his most positive comments of the rival tour since the fledgling LIV stuck their first tee in the ground in 2022. He was optimistic the PGA Tour could adopt adopt and integrate aspects of Rival Live into the PGA Tour platform. The least surprising headline of this commentary is it's money that drives this bus, along with player playing time flexibility. And although laughed at, dress code and music blasting while play is on is a big deal to PGA diehards, and the team format Liv employs is what golf is not about. It was meant to be played solo, a player on an island with only his caddy to bounce ideas off of for 4 days. And that is the appeal the 96-year-old flagship circuit has with many followers. And feeling sadness, confusion, and anger like a child in a divorce caught between two bickering parents, this being the PGA and Liv, is the fan, just wanting to see big names golfing every weekend, not just during majors and designated marquee events. But with egos and billions of dollars of cash at stake, the PGA and Liv Tour are on the clock with fans and on the verge of being assessed a slow play penalty, and the fans leaving the course altogether. Sports in 60 times 2, presented by Geico and Geico.com. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. This is hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, emanating from the Sports Byline Studios in lovely San Francisco, California, where I didn't know they were having a St. Patrick's Day parade yesterday, so get this. I'm driving across town, stuck in traffic, saying to myself, what's going on here? What's going on? Bottom line is, St. Patrick's Day, of course, anytime they have a parade here in the city, it just ties the city up. So bottom line is, don't have any more parades. Let's cancel St. Patrick's Day any day that I'm working. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your host. I'm also an award-winning writer and four-time Golden Glove champion, so allegedly, supposedly, I should know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I'm not the average boxing fan, and I asked this hour, in hour number one, I'll go into this in hour number two. Is there an average boxing fan right now? Think about that. The average boxing fan, per se, of course, he's about 45 to 55 years old. That's the way it's always been as far as the books are concerned. But as I'm looking at these younger guys, I thought that Mayweather was going to bring a younger breed into the sport of boxing as far as the fan base was concerned. And I think that happened for a little bit. But since then, there really haven't been anybody bringing in young guys. Of course, I think David Benavidez is the number 2 pound-for-pound fighter in the world. I kid you not. I think Noah Inoue, of course, the Japanese fighter performing May the 4th in Las Vegas, Nevada, I think against a guy by the name of Valenzuela. Of course, the Mexican national, so that's going to make for a good crowd, no doubt about the Mexicans and the Japanese getting together. That's going to be May the 4th in the T-Mobile Arena, of course, a great arena, no doubt about that, down there in Las Vegas, Nevada. May the 3rd, they're going to go from Saudi Arabia. Of course, that's if Canelo Alvarez gets by William Scull on May the 3rd. Of course, they're going to go with Terrence Crawford, and I think with Terrence Crawford, William Scull and Canelo Alvarez, that sets up the Terrence Crawford fight in September, should Canelo win, of course. And then, prior to that, it's going to be May the 2nd, the big fight down there in Times Square with Devin Haney and, Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia, not fighting each other, but the bottom line is they'll be on the card. There's going to be some good fights. Let me tell you, I think the weekend of 2nd, 3rd, and 4th is going to be a good weekend to watch TV. There's no doubt about that. But as far as going to live events concerned, I think I'm going to Vegas. I was going to New York City, but the bottom line is it's just too much money. I mean, you know how much money they want for one night in New York City? In the Bronx, they want $300 for a hotel for one night. Hookers are cheaper. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Now you can get the incredible weight loss results that thousands of people have had with the top name brand prescription weight loss products, all in the comfort of your own home. With this free offer from New Hope Weight Loss, yes, generic versions of the popular weight loss prescription products are available now by you simply making a phone call. You'll save hundreds of dollars over traditional retail pricing. When you call right now, you'll speak with one of our virtual doctors and they'll provide your prescription and we'll send you your medication. It's that easy. And you'll be on your way to your weight loss journey in a matter of days. And when you order today, we'll waive the $100 doctor's fee. This product is not covered by your insurance. It's only $199 a month. Call right now to learn more.
800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. That's 800-281-8944.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
When a fight is coming up, you, it appears to me, deliberately build up a lot of pressure to intimidate your opponent.
And it intimidates the people. See, in America, the black people are always taught to be humble. You know, yes, boss. Hey, Barbara. Yes, boss. Yes, boss. And never has a slave got up and said, I am the greatest. I'm beautiful. I'm pretty. I cannot lose.
They said, that talks too much.
And they pay money to see me beat. And I go to the bank laughing. 100,000, 200,000, 300,000. I am the greatest. That talks, he's cocky.
Might have to scrap that AWV tune. Coming back a little bit too slow. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. One of my guys from the Twitch.tv talking about the House Historian, Frank 1961, has sent me some names as far as names are concerned, so I'm going to go through them right now. Johnny Tapia. Wow, what can I say about Johnny Tapia? Of course, 59-5, only stopped one time, 30 KOs, of course, a champion in a couple different weight divisions. Bit of a, he died from opiate poisoning. He was like one of the first opiates deaths around. I mean, you know, I thought he was messing around with PCP or cocaine. It wasn't cocaine at that point in time. Of course, I remember one point in time we were together in Miami, Florida, Fort Lauderdale. I can't remember what city it was in, but we were in Florida. And we were at a fight. Take that back. It was Miami, Florida. It was the Highlight Arena in Miami, Florida. Don King was throwing a show. And Johnny Tapia was there. And these chicks were trying to hit on him, this and that. And, you know, he wasn't going for it. And, of course, he had Teresa Tapia at home at that point in time. It was his wife. And he wasn't moving on any. I mean, beautiful girls were coming to him trying to make a move on him. He wasn't doing it. He told me, Pedro, I don't cheat on my wife except was my only mistress. You have a mistress? Johnny, I'm thinking, oh. He goes, yeah, it's cocaine. He goes, yeah. So bottom line is he had a cocaine problem, no doubt about that, of course. You know, and Johnny, when I look at the fact that, you know, he lost a couple fights he probably shouldn't have lost, but when you look at the entire picture of Johnny Tapia, man, I mean, he was just a guy that just had a whole lot of problems. He was emotionally spent. He watched his mother be murdered. I mean, imagine that, watching your mother get murdered in front of you, like 4 or 5 years old. That's got to be like one of your early thoughts, and that thought's going to stick with you for the rest of your life. Anyway, Johnny Tapia, may he rest in peace, an opioid death, no doubt about that. Now, who else are you going to talk about here? Let's go back to some other names here. Okay. Daniel Ponce de Leon. Champion at 122, I believe, at WBO. That was back in when he beat Jerry Penalosa, I think, of the Philippines back in 2007. I wasn't all impressed with him. I wasn't. I mean, he was a rich, a tough guy. There's no doubt about that. But I thought he lost a lot of big fights. He stopped by Juan Manuel Lopez. No shame in that, but he got stopped, I think, in the first round. He lost to Broner. He lost to Yuri Gamboa. He lost to Abner Maris. All worthy guys, no doubt about that. I said the Juan Manuel Lopez fight, he got knocked out in the second round. That was in 2014. Of course, his last fighting is Miguel Roman. Miguel Roman came in at 45-11, and Miguel Roman knocked him out in 9 rounds. So the bottom line is he was done, no doubt about that. Now we go to our next name here, Hilmer Kenty. Wow, the first champion of Kronk Gym, no doubt about that. The first champion winning the WBA title. I think he beat a spotter for the title, of course. Hilmer had weight problems. He was 29-2 eventually. He stopped one time, 18 KOs. But you look at his career, he won his last 8 fights, but he lost a guy by the name of Roberto Elizondo. I think he was out of New Mexico or Texas. Tough guy, no doubt about that. But I didn't really think he was in the upper echelons of boxing as far as the top 3 or 4 fighters concerned. But he got stopped by him in the second round. That was in 1982. Before that, of course, he lost to Sean O'Grady. And that was a bit of a surprise. Nobody thought O'Grady had much of a chance going in there. Of course, O'Grady coming in at 74-2, he lost to Danny Little Red Lopez in a prior fight when he was thrown in way over his head. But the bottom line is, a lot of Sean's fights, he fought the impeccable one like 73 times. And unfortunately, well, fortunately for Sean, but he laid down. The impeccable one laid down all them times. Because, you know, a lot of Sean O'Grady's fights were fixed. When the attorney general came out and said that Pat O'Grady fixed all these fights, and Sean O'Grady had to know it because he was fighting the same guy night after night. In other words, if you fight a Mexican in blue trunks, and then he shows up in green trunks another night. No, you fight him in like a Friday night in Omaha, Nebraska. What did he say? Omaha. We'll say he was in Omaha Friday night. He fights in Omaha in purple, blue trunks. 2 weeks later, he fights a guy in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The guy's wearing pink trunks. Okay. Then 2 or 3 weeks after that, he fights him in Oklahoma City, and the guy's wearing black trunks. But it's the same guy. The same guy. Okay. And Sean O'Grady's playing like, you know, I don't know anything about what my father did. You had to know because it's the same guy. Are you that much of a buffoon that you can't figure out that you're fighting the same guy time and time again? Come on, man. Give me a break. Anyway, Sean O'Grady, the bubblegum kid. I thought a lot of his fights were fixed. I just wasn't impressed with Sean overall. Of course, we did some broadcasts together as far as TV was concerned. I remember we were doing a WBO 135-pound title fight down in San Jose, California. And the guy was getting knocked out, and Sean's reading from a script. John's got his head down and reading to a script, and the guy's getting knocked out, and I'm elbowing him and this and that, and he's got to get through that. I mean, he's programmed. He's going to read. He's going to, So, man, the guy's getting knocked out. Bottom line is, Sean wasn't that great of a broadcaster, although he did do well as far as the USA Cable night, Tuesday night cable fights were concerned. Of course, USA Cable, that was the top-rated show in the history of the network. I don't think any show has ever done more as far as numbers were concerned, and yet some chick came on, some bimbo, a blonde bimbo. Bottom line, she came on as the CEO of USA Cable, and she decided she was going to nix a boxing program, and she did, and it was a top-ranked show on the network. Why would you do that? In other words, she wanted to take USA Cable in a totally different direction. Of course, boxing sort of died at that point in time. I think boxing never recovered from that loss. I don't think so. I mean, ESPN sort of, you know, patched up some work here and there, and they still do fights, but the bottom line is, the Tuesday night fights were a staple of every boxing fan. In other words, when it came on the West Coast, it would come on at 9 o'clock, delayed 3 hours later. When it came on the East Coast, it would be 9 o'clock live. Of course, Johnny Boz would call me on the phone and ruin my nights. So he'd tell me what the results were all the time, leaving me the results on my answering machine. I couldn't even pick up the answering machine back then because Johnny Boz was crazy. He would call me and say, yeah, I know I'm going to ruin your night. You know who won the fight? He would call me and say that. I'm going to ruin your night. You know who won the fight? And he would say who won the fight. So I would know previously before it went on. Of course, 9 o'clock Pacific time, we watch the fights that were delayed. And this is before the internet. Before the internet, a lot of things were cool. I mean, everybody's like enamored with the world of technology now. And I'm sort of glad I grew up in the days where we sort of went out to play and we didn't have tablets and that kind of good stuff, because I think kids are really being restricted. I think they're being, you know, they're being harnessed to the point. I mean, they're staying home and working on their little computers and doing the online stuff and this and that when they should be out doing some physical activity. That's what's happening today in today's world. Kids are inside all the time and their parents are scared they're going to get molested and get kidnapped. That ain't going to happen. If your kid's got half a brain, ain't that going to happen to him, okay? But the bottom line is, if you sit the kid around the house and he gets fat and he gets slow and he gets old real quick, you'll see it. You'll see it. In fact, a friend of mine said to me the other day, he goes, you know, Pete, you look like you're in good shape for 67. Listen, I try to walk into a room and people know I'm in shape. That's what I try to do. I mean, I don't want to try to impose my physicality, my physical status on anybody. But the bottom line is, when I walk into a room, you know I'm in shape. You just know it. Well, no, regardless of the age. Okay, I've got a friend of mine that's 290 pounds now. I can't convince him that he's fat. Can you believe that? He doesn't believe he's... I kid you not. He doesn't believe he's fat. He goes, oh, Pete, it's hereditary. No, your mother wasn't 290 pounds. Neither was your father. Okay? He wasn't 290, but you're 290 pounds. 5'10", 290. Okay? And you know what he tells me? Oh, man, I'm healthy. I haven't got diabetes, you know? And he takes high blood pressure medicine. Let me tell you about high blood pressure medicine. I'm going off on a medical tangent right here. But if you or somebody you know is taking high blood pressure medicine, they're a ticking bomb for a stroke. I kid you not. A time bomb. A ticking time bomb. Why do I say that? Because everybody I know in the past 10 years that's had a stroke, multiple strokes, or a single stroke, or a mini stroke, however you want to call it, bottom line is, they've all been taking high blood pressure medicine. Think about that. And a couple of people that take the high blood pressure medicine, they stand up and they get dizzy. So when they get dizzy, they fall down. You get fall down, you're fat. You can't get up. Okay? Can't get up. Bottom line is, you know what I'm talking about. Bob Antonelli, straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Going back to some of the names here. Andy Gannigan, 34-5, the Hawaiian Punch. Got stopped 4 times, once by Alexis Arguello, of course. 30 KOs, a big puncher. When he fought Arguello, I think it was in 1980. Let me look at the exact date. Of course, I was there. It was the Aladdin Hotel, the old Aladdin Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. And it was one hell of a fight. I mean, Gannigan came out and knocked Arguello down in the first round. I mean, boom, knocked him out. I said to myself, oh, my God, is this the end of Alexis? But Alexis got up. He was gritty. He got hurt again in the second round. Alexis told me he got hurt more in the second round than he did in the first round. That's how hard that Andy Gannigan hit. Of course, Andy Gannigan was coming off that knockout over Sean O'Grady. And speaking of Sean O'Grady, his father was fixing fights, right? So his father tried to fix this one. His father tried to get himself a small ring because he was going to fight 1976 Olympian Howard Davis. May he rest in peace. But the MVP of the 76 Olympic team was Howard Davis, a slick, slick boxer. He's known as a runner, no doubt about that. So Pat O'Grady decided he was going to get like a 14-foot ring. So he installed a 14-foot ring for his son, Sean O'Grady, to fight Howard Davis. At the last minute, Howard Davis pulled out. So Howard Davis pulled out, and they put in a puncher instead. So they put a puncher in, and Andy Gannigan, probably one of the hardest punchers in the history of boxing, they put him in a southpaw to boot, a left-hander. They put him in a 15-foot ring with Sean O'Grady. He destroyed O'Grady, knocked O'Grady out in the second round. But then when he knocked Arguello down in the first round, that was pretty heavy. When he hurt Arguello in the second round, wow, that was amazing, because Arguello, I thought he was on... He was on, sort of like, you know, when Ali got knocked out in the 50 round against Joe Frazier, everybody thought he was hurt. No, he was really hurt in the 11th round when he got hurt on the ropes. No doubt about that. Same thing with Arguello and Gannigan. Of course, Andy Gannigan, the Hawaiian Punch, did some good things. But at the end of the day, I think he had some psychological issues as well. Of course, he was a drinker. You can't drink and box. You just can't. If you're a lush, probably not going to make it. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, emanating from the Sports By Live Studios in San Francisco, California, coming to you on iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, and the American Forces Network. And, of course, Twitch.tv and the Sports By Line USA channel.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book, and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup with our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory. No more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications you don't need and identify more appropriate replacements. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now for our genetic testing service at little or no cost to you. It starts with a call for a free medical assessment and evaluation of your Medicare coverage. Make this free call right now.
800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. That's 800-948-6814.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Is it nerve-wracking for you to do something like this, or is it more nervous for you to box? How does it compare?
I don't know. It's more nerve-wracking for me to hear us talking to a rat piece of like you.
Come on, Mike.
Not because you're a piece of
All right.
Really have to
we're gonna wrap up this interview. Thank you for coming in.
I don't think that guy wanted that interview to continue. Why? Listen, here's what's up. You're sitting down next to Mike Tyson. You know, I've called out some guys, and I wouldn't call out Mike Tyson. I wouldn't call out Marvin Hagler. Outside of that, I wasn't scared of anybody else. I wasn't afraid of anybody. Mike Tyson, you never knew. Mike might snap, man. Mike was ghetto. Mike, you never knew what he was going. And Marvin was such a proud guy, you never knew where Marvin was going to go either. But the bottom line is, I never stepped on either of those guys' toes, Marvin Hagler or Mike Tyson. Now, pound for pound, why is Lamont Roach in the top 10 pound for pound right now? Ask me that. I mean, he beat Gervonta Davis. He had a draw with him, so at least he'd be on an even keel with him, right? But that ain't the way it goes. I mean, the pound for pound top 10 ratings don't even have this guy around. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there's been a greater injustice of late than Lamont Roach. I really don't. And the fact that he's hanging around with the same promoter as Gervonta Davis is the reason why he's not getting justice. Now, pound for pound, of course, no doubt about that. 29-0. He's the number one pound for pound fighter in the world. 31 years old, champion at 122 right now. Some people say to me, well, why don't you consider the heavyweight champion of the world, the man that's never lost a fight, either as a cruiserweight or as a heavyweight, Oleg Usyk, in the top 10 or the top 5 pound for pound? I just don't consider him there. I don't think the fighters have been that great that he fought. Of course, number two in the pound for pound list, guess who? A new entry as far as the top five is concerned. Not in my mind, but in a lot of minds of a lot of people. I'm talking about David Benavidez. I mean, wow, what can you say about David that hasn't already been said? He's undefeated. He's a raging fighter. I mean, he's on a move, no doubt about that. I mean, the guy's ran from, he's got everybody's run from him, and Dave Canelo's out. Canelo Alves ran from him. 30-0, third 24 KOs, of course. A guy that just annihilated David Morrell in his last fight. Of course, before that, he beat Oleg Gavarik. It wasn't supposed to beat him either as easily as he did. That was a 12-round decision and an over-the-weight fight, 175 pounds. Now, people say to me that he's a weight bully.
that, you know, that David Benavidez is a weight bully. He comes in at 160 to 175 and ends up coming in at 200 pounds. You know, that's on you. Bottom line is David Morrell, of course, he was a good fighter. No doubt about that. Came in with the WBA title or the WBA interim title. Of course, a Cuban fighter that was undefeated. He had a real good amateur background. But the bottom line is he was solid, but he only won one or two rounds against David Benavidez. So I consider Benavidez the number two fighter pound for pound in the world. Now, number three, got to go to Dmitry Bivol, light heavyweight champ, of course, with that win over Artur Beterbiev a fortnight ago. He's 34 years old. Of course, Beterbiev 40 going on 90. Of course, as far as the rest of the top 10 is concerned, Junto Nakatani, got to consider him. I've talked with the bantamweight champion from Japan, now 30 and zip. He was a winner a fortnight ago. He's a guy that's trained by Rudy Hernandez. He is the real deal, no doubt about that. Of course, Beterbiev, do you consider Beterbiev still in the top 10? I don't know, 21-1, 40 years old, going on 45. Gervonta Davis, drop him from the top 10. If you don't drop him from the top 10, put Lamont Roach in the top 10, one or the other, because if Gervonta Davis is number 9, and Lamont Roach just went even with him over 12 rounds. That means Lamont Roach is in the same status as Gervonta Davis, right? No. Let me tell you, the boxing world, the boxing establishment is trying to screw Lamont Roach. They just aren't. And he's going along with it. He's going to go along with it. He's going to go along with Al Heyman's bull spit and go along. I kid you not. Anyway, Gervonta Davis, I don't think should be in the top 10 pound for anymore. Speaking of top 10, is Shakur Stevenson really there? Of course, he's looked good of late, but then he fought a guy that was like, Josh Podley came in like on 2 days' notice, and Josh couldn't win the Golden Gloves here if you like gave him a couple easy fights. He just couldn't. He wasn't that good of a fighter. But yet Shakur looked like you know, the next coming of Ray Robinson against him. Now 23 and zip, 27 years old. I'm not impressed with Shakur Stevenson. Go back to Newark, New Jersey. That's where you're from. The bottom line is, who knows? As far as the rest of the top 10 is concerned, you got to have Jesse Benavidez in there. Of course, Bam, call him what you want. Jesse Bam Rodriguez, 21 and zip. Super flyweight champion is 115 pounds. A champion at 112 before that. Of course, he can move up to 122 pounds. The eventual fight, I think, is between him and Noah Inouye at 122. But will Noah Inouye stick around for 122 very much longer? Of course, he has a super fight in Japan with the aforementioned Junto Nakatani, the 118-pound champion, who comes in at 30 and zip. So, I mean, Noah Inouye doesn't even mention Nakatani. He's talking about other guys, but he doesn't even mention Nakatani. There's a reason why he doesn't want to mention Nakatani. I think Nakatani is the guy that might be able to beat him there in his hometown. I mean, they could do this in the Tokyo Dome, the site of Tyson and Douglas. They could do this in the Tokyo Dome. I can stay in the hotel next door. But no, they can do this in the Tokyo Dome, and it would sell out the place, sell out 3 or 4 arenas in Nevada. No doubt about that. It's a battle of the great Japanese fighters. As far as the rest of the top 10 is concerned, I got to put Oleg Usyk in there, I guess, because he is the world heavyweight champion, 23 and zip, one. All his fights as cruiserweight, of course, stepped up to heavyweight, upset the odds, and upset a lot of people. Beat Tyson Fury, beat Joshua. So he's beat some guys that he wasn't supposed to beat. But then again, he doesn't do anything to impress me. But he keeps winning. So when I say to you, I'm not a Usyk fan. Teofimo Lopez, does he belong in the top 10? Top 10, maybe top 12. 21-1 now, of course, lost that one fight to Josh Taylor. Looked terrible. No, take it back, to Kambosos. Looked terrible losing to George Kambosos. And Kambosos wouldn't win the Golden Gloves here. If you fix the Golden Gloves, he couldn't win here. As far as the rest of the top 10 is concerned, I think Virgil Ortiz, based on that performance he had a couple weeks ago, he's got to be up there, no doubt about that. Super welterweight now, 23 and zip, 21 KOs, of course. Hasn't got KOs in his last couple of fights, but guess what? Before that, it was nothing but knockouts. Of course, he was fighting guys at 147. I thought he was a next coming of Oscar De La Hoya, the Golden Boy, come around the second time. But guess what? It didn't happen that way. Of course, promoted by Golden Boy Promotions, he had some issues with some medical issues, and a lot of people thought maybe he was, you know, taking performance-enhancing drugs, a.k.a. Flintstone vitamins or something like that. But the bottom line is that's never been proved. But, you know, when he beat Israel Madrimov in his last fight, I mean, he was the guy that some people thought beat Terrence Crawford, had a close fight with Terrence Crawford in his prior outing. The bottom line is, you know, I mean, Vargas went out there and schooled him, 115, 113, 115, 113, 117, 111. I mean, I had thought it was like a one-sided fight not score-wise, but as far as rounds, he was winning those rounds dominantly. Even around a couple of rounds he lost, he was doing well. And I'm talking about for the young man, you know, you got to give him all kinds of credit. You really do. I mean, because he's come back from I thought he was done. I think he could stick a fork. I thought it was time to stick a fork in Fernando Vargas. Fernando Vargas, Virgil Ortiz, didn't happen that way. Wish him the very best. And some people say he is the next coming of Fernando Vargas, meaning he's a troublemaker. He gets in trouble this time. I don't think that's going to go that way. Straight up, let's look at the boxing schedule. March 22nd, of course. Oh, take that back. Nick Ball was the winner last night. One of my favorite guys was the Battle of Liverpool. Liverpool, the UK, of course, both guys coming to us from Liverpool, Nick Ball and TJ Doheny. They sold out the arena down there in Liverpool, Nevada, Liverpool, England, of course. And the bottom line is the WBA featherweight title, 126-pound title, was on the line. TJ Doheny's corner threw in the towel about the seventh or eighth round. It was a work fight for Nick Ball, but it was a work fight of domestic. Note, what I'm trying to say is this was a big fight in the UK. I mean, people were back in TJ, people were back in Nick Ball, so the bottom line is it was a good fight as far as the people watching on the Zone was concerned. March 15th, of course. Also, March 22nd, Amazon Prime coming back with Sebastian Fedora, 6'5", 154-pound champion of the WBC, I believe, and the WBO. Of course, taking on Chodell Booker. Chodell Booker has two chances, slim and none, and guess what? Slim ain't even in town. March 22nd, the aforementioned George Kambos is coming back at junior welterweight. They'll probably be down there in Australia, taking on Dodd Yodan. Of course, that's going to be at 140 pounds. Good luck on that one. I never want to see George fight again ever in my life. Now, March 29th, and we hope to have Haley Pennington, the 130-pound women's fighter. I hope to have her out to forecast this fight, but the ESPN rematch is going to be Mikaela Meyer on the 29th of March against Sandy Ryan. Of course, the WBO female welterweight title, they went back and forth the last time. It was a pretty good fight. I mean, a lot of us were knocking the fact that they put this women's fight in the main event status, but guess what? It lived up to its hype last time. Wish them the very best luck this next time around. And Brian Norman's in the co-feature against Derek Cuevas. Not impressed with Brian. Never have been. I think he's slow. And he can't punch. Now, the 29th, exciting fighter coming back, William Zepeda, fighting for the WBC interim lightweight title. I mean, how can they have interim title when Shakur Stevens is supposed to be the champion at 135? This is a knock I got against the WBC, is that they come up with these titles, interim titles, in order to charge more money. I mean, if I was a world champion and they decided there was an interim champion, I would probably sue the WBC. I would try to do something and say, listen, man, you can't have an interim champion. I'm the world champion. You can't have somebody else like running around as a fake world champion. What is kind of crap is that? And in fact, the Association of Boxing Commissions, who used to have authority here in the United States regarding the officiating of boxing matches and things like that, well, they don't seem to be involved anymore. I wish they were, because the bottom line is, you know, we need a federal bureau to run boxing here in the United States. People say to me, you know, you're bringing the government in, things happen. No, things happen. I get that. Things bad happen. I mean, a lot of bad things happen when the government's fault. But in the sport of boxing, I think we need a national governing body, because all these different states, I mean, Oliver McCall is going to be 60 years old in a couple of weeks, right? They got him licensed to fight in Tennessee. He's 60 years old. He's a man that had mental breakdown in a ring like 30 years ago. He was 35 years old when he had a mental breakdown against Lennox Lewis. He had a mental breakdown in the ring. He turned around and started walking around. He quit in the ring. He had a mental breakdown in the ring, and yet he's fighting 30 years later? That's promoter Jimmy Adams. You should be ashamed of yourself. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He's very delusional. He can't listen. If he was anywhere near that realm of Great Ali, he'd be able to take his kids to school by himself. Okay, he can't take his kid to school by himself. And you're talking about he's great? Greatness is not guarding yourself from the people. Greatness is being accepted by the people. He can't take his kids alone to school by himself. He's a little scared man. He's a very small, scared man.
Mike Tyson lighting up Floyd Mayweather. Mayweather, of course, the world champion at 130, 135, 140, 147. I can go on. But the bottom line is they thought he won titles at 154. I'm not a Mayweather fan. Never have been a Mayweather fan. I thought one point in time he was a nice kid. He was a young kid. I remember in the 1988 Olympic trials when he broke down in tears and was crying and threw an emotional fit. I thought he was going to have a nervous breakdown because he had lost over there to, I can't remember the guy from Las Vegas that he lost to. But the bottom line is he lost in the Olympic trials. Of course, then he won the box off. He came back in the Olympic trials and ended up coming away with a medal. But the bottom line is I never thought Floyd was as good as he thought he was. Now, somebody sent me some more names here. Let me get these before I get to Duran. Rich Marotta, boxing announcer for Rich Marotta. This was sent to me just now by Frank 1961, House of Story. And, of course, Rich Marotta was a good broadcaster, no doubt about that. In fact, he was hooked up with Dan Goosen. Let me tell you like this. In 1993, I went down to the L.A. Forum and did a Mosley fight. Mosley was on the undercard. Shane Mosley was on the undercard. I can't remember what the main event was. But I worked with Tom Kelly. It was me and Tom Kelly, and we did this great show together. And Tom Kelly said to me, he grabbed my hand, he shook my hand afterwards, said, Pedro, I look forward to working with you in the future. You've got the job. So I went home that night thinking I had the Las Vegas Forum television job, no doubt about that, right? And then about 2 weeks later, when we go for the next car for 2 weeks later, all of a sudden, I'm not getting a call. So I called the forum and said, no, well, we decided to go with Rich Marotta. I said, why'd you go with Rich Marotta? He goes, probably because Dan Goosen was an agent. I said, in other words, if I had an agent, I would have got the gig. If Dan Goosen was my agent, when I got the gig, maybe would have fared better. But the bottom line is, Rich, that's how Rich Marotta got the Sports America gig over me. And, of course, the gig at the forum. So I wish him the best. He's a good announcer, no doubt about that. But he don't rank with me. Straight up, we're talking Roberto Duran. Of course, the world greatest fighter in my mind. Of course, pound for pound, the king of all boxing. Better than Ray Robinson. Better than anybody. Of course, a better fighter, per se, at least for one night, than Sugar Ray Leonard back in 1980. Of course, the big meltdown. But think about this. Between 1967, when he turned professional, and 1980, when he lost that No Moss fight to Duran, November 25th, 1980, in New Orleans, he had only lost one fight.
That was the Esteban de Jesus. And what did he do to De Jesus in the second and third fight? He beat him convincingly. In the fact, in the third fight, he stopped him. I mean, it was a big, one-sided, ugly fight, no doubt about that. January 21st, 1978, that was the end of Roberto Duran at 135 pounds. Of course, he moved up to 140, fought guys like Jimmy Hare, Carlos Palomino. I think that was his telltale fight at welterweight when he took on Carlos Palomino, the former world champion, knocked Palomino down in the sixth round. Of course, beat Palomino 9 rounds to 1 going across the board. 99-90, 99-91, 99-90. My great Harold Letterman had that score, but that was in Madison Square Garden. But that sort of made everybody believe that Duran was a true welterweight. Of course, he took on Zeferino Gonzalez next, and then a guy named Joseph Maduba, then Wellington Wheatley, all hobos to an extent. Then he took on Ray Leonard. Of course, June 20th, 1980, the brawl in Montreal. Of course, he won that fight with a 15-round unanimous nod. Scores were 146-144, 145-144. And Angelo Paletti scored a 148-147. Remember, these are 15-round fights, not 12-round fights. So anyway, when Paletti scored a 148-147, he scored around the fight 3 rounds to 2 for Duran. How can he do that? He scored, I kid you not, he scored 10 rounds even. He scored 10 of the 15 rounds even. Duran ended up winning 3-2. In other words, 10 rounds were even, 3-2 on Angelo Paletti's card. I don't think he worked too many events after that. Of course, after that, Duran had his ups and downs, lost to Benitez, beat Mancillo, lost to Kirkland Lang 2 fights in a row after Benitez, lost to Kirkland Lang. Kirkland Lang was a bit of a knucklehead from across the pond, fought Jimmy Batt and Pepino Cuevas. I was down there in L.A. when he knocked out Cuevas in the sports arena in the fourth round. That was in 1983. Then he came back with his most significant win in 1983 when he knocked out Davey Moore, June 16, 1983, the Madison Square Garden. Of course, a big fight for the WBA junior middleweight title. J.B. Moore came in at 12-0 with like 7 or 8 knockouts, considered a favorite in the card. But guess what? Not after the first round. Duran hit him hard in the first round. The second round, it was all over. Bottom line is, he lasted a few more rounds, but at the end of the day, he got stopped in the 8th round. Of course, the referee, probably the worst referee in the history of boxing, Ernesto Magana. After that, he went 15 rounds with Marvin Hagler. That's right. Marvin Hagler, the all-time pound-for-pound king at this point in time, a guy that was knocking everybody dead. And here this guy moves up from 135 pounds to 160 pounds, fights the greatest middleweight of all time, and goes 15 rounds with him. And after 12 rounds, Duran's ahead on 2 cards. Think about that. I mean, Duran only lost to Hagler 144, 142, 143, 144, 143, and 146, 145. By 1 point, and by 2 points. That's what Duran lost. A lightweight, moving up from 135 pounds, turned pro in 1967, moved up to 160 pounds from 135, turned pro at 122, and in 1983, goes 15 rounds with marvelous Marvin Hagler. Had it been a 12-round fight, Duran might have won that fight. Of course, after that, he gets knocked out by Tommy Hearns. Of course, got fat in between fights and didn't take care of business. Thought he could, you know, knock out Tommy because Tommy had a weak chin. Tommy took him apart. It was a knockout of the year in 1984. Of course, after that, he fought a bunch of bums. Fought Robbie Sims, who was Marvin Hagler's brother-in-law. I thought it was his stepbrother, but somebody told me it was his brother-in-law. Marvin Hagler's brother-in-law. That was in Caesars Palace, the outdoor arena. That was, of course, June 23rd, 1986, I believe that was the same day that Barry McGuigan lost to TV Cruz in the heat that night. No doubt about that. Then he fought a whole bunch of bumps. Take that back. Went down to Miami, watched him fight Juan Carlos Jimenez. Jimenez was ranked in the top 10, and somehow he beat Jimenez on a 10-round decision, beat him going across the board. I mean, the scores were like 98-91, 97-91, and 96-91. So, I mean, Jimenez didn't win too many fights, but he was ranked in the top 10 by the WBC at 160 pounds. So next time out, he beats Ricky Stackhouse. That was a bit of a shaky win. Then we take him to Paul Thornton, but the fight that was really controversial with with Roberto Duran, was when we went to Chicago, Illinois. That had to be like 1980 when he fought Jeff Lannis. I mean, Jeff Lannis, I thought Jeff might have won that fight. I mean, between you and I, the scores were 46-44, 47-45, and 47-46. But the bottom line is, one judge did have Lannis winning that fight by 2 points. I thought he might have won that fight, but they gave it to the old man, Roberto Duran. Then next up, he comes up against Iran the Blade Barkley. By the way, Barkley suffered a mini stroke this week. He's in a hospital somewhere in the New York area. Wishing the very best as far as his recovery is concerned. But Iran the Blade Barkley, he took him on. He was a 3-1 underdog with Roberto Duran. We were scared to death. We were shaking. All of us were freaking out. And then after the first round, the second round, Duran's winning the fight. Wait a second. Duran's hanging with this guy. You got to be kidding me. Barkley's a monster. He just knocked out Tommy Hearns with 3 rounds. You got to be kidding me. He's a huge favorite. Guess what? He beats Barkley. And then the next time out, Duran takes on Ray Leonard for the third time. That was a bit of a disappointment, no doubt about that. The only good thing about that day was the opening of the Mirage Hotel, which basically just closed. That was in 1989, of course, the grand opening of the Mirage Hotel, the outdoor arena, 12-7, December 7th. They held a card in the almost in the snow. That's how cold it was. It was 39 degrees at the time of the main event between Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran. Duran won, lost every round of that fight, no doubt about that. He took on Pat Lawler after that, and he lost to Pat Lawler. Now, guess what? Pat Lawler was my Golden Glove buddy here in San Francisco. Of course, I knocked Pat Lawler down in the gym with a body shot. Not that I'm trying to say I was better than Pat Lawler. I'm just saying I beat Pat Lawler in the gym. Pat Lawler wasn't much of a fighter. In fact, Eddie Croft, 122-pound champion of the WBC, the regional champ, he used to beat up Pat Lawler in the gym as well. So Duran went through all kinds of guys after that and never fought anybody of note. Vinny Pazienza, I mean, he never had any real big fights. He fought Camacho, lost to Camacho, this and that. Lost to Jorge Castro down there in South America. Lost to William Joppy. That was embarrassing when he knocked out by Joppy. That was in the third round. We were there in Las Vegas, 1998. Of course, I thought that was the end of Roberto Duran. And then he comes back and he fights Pat Lawler again. Pat Lawler, he fights Pat Lawler down there in Panama City this time. Of course, and he knocks out Pat Lawler. Take that back. He won a decision over Pat Lawler in 12 rounds. Now, Pat Lawler is the guy that held that upset win of him over him about 4 or 5 years earlier, and that was going to be in Las Vegas on one of the great undercards. I think it was on the Tyson-Ruddock undercard, if my memory serves me correctly. Anyway, bottom line is after Lawler, he beats Lawler, he comes back, he wins pancakes. Oh, the good thing about Pat Lawler, the funny thing about Pat Lawler was Pat Lawler met a Panamanian maid down there in Panama City. So she thought since he was fighting Duran, he was rich and he had money. Well, Pat Lawler was living out of his car. I'll say it again. This girl thought that Pat Lawler was rich because he beat Roberto Duran down there in Panama City, but Pat Lawler was living out of his car. Kid you not, here in the city by the bay, San Francisco. Evidently, he's doing better. He's living on Grant Street, about a couple blocks away, in the unit block of Grant Street, in the hotel. The Hells Angels put him up, and they are taking care of him. We'll talk about the Irish Pat Lawler. Of course, after that, he fought Pat Goosen. Pat Goosen, of course, one of the relatives of the great Goosen dynasty. And, of course, and his last fight was against Hector Camacho. That was in 2001. So Roberto Duran fought from 1967 to 2001, and his total record was, get this, 103 wins, 16 losses, 4 KOs. He was stopped 4 times, and he won 70 knockouts. Now, we go back in time to talk about a short clip on Duran and how great of a fighter he truly was.
I have in my office a picture of Ray Arcel handling Benny Leonard. And on the bottom is a picture of Ray Arcel handling Roberto Duran, 60 years apart. Here's a man who trained the two greatest lightweights in the history of the ring.
Fight fans love a puncher. Fight fans love somebody who has that jungle intensity, the Dempsey, the Duran.
Duran was fighting a guy that I knew named Benny Huertas, who came from the Gramercy Gym on 14th Street. He was a good, very technical fighter. Duran destroyed him. And I said, holy God, look, who is this guy? And we soon found out he was the greatest lightweight of maybe of the century.
Within the year, he's fighting Ken Buchanan, the lightweight championship. Buchanan's a cutie. Buchanan is a good technician. Didn't matter. Duran took him apart. By the 13th round, a battered Buchanan had to spit out his mouthpiece many rounds earlier in order to breathe. And Duran just lets go with one right to the cojones. And Johnny Lebianco, the referee who hadn't seen anything, the low blow or anything, he's just, you know, waving it off. Meanwhile, here's Buchanan in agony.
At 135 pounds, he was as good as it's ever been. He was, you know, and he just got better with every fight. He was a brilliant defensive fighter. People never think of him as that. But it was very hard to hit him. He could punch. He was tough.
If you ever saw Roberto Duran fight, you never forgot it. Because he was a different act. He was like a thunderstorm coming across the ring at you. I don't know of any other fighter who was quite that wild in the ring, and yet he was in control of himself as a boxer.
This was a man, is still the hero of the Latino boxing fan. Didn't matter, he's Panamanian, Mexican, and Puerto Rican. It's Roberto Duran.
As a lightweight, I think he was unbeatable as a lightweight. Although he had his greatest fight, oddly enough, as a welterweight. One, that first shot with Sugar Ray Leonard.
It was just amazing because it rained like crazy and people put the garbage bags on top of their head and oh, it was torrential. And then Duran walked out and it stopped raining and of course the fight was legendary.
Roberto Duran, of course, the brawl in Montreal, June 20th, 1980, a 15-round decision winner over the great Sugar Ray Leonard. Of course, Ray Leonard would come back and win the No Mas fight. Of course, and then the third fight that took place back in 1989. Wow, both guys were shot at that point in time. This is Ring Talk, live worldwide on Sports Byline.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
We all love children, and many of us have an old car, truck, or van in the driveway. Find the Children has a great way for you to put your unwanted vehicle to good use. Keep listening. Every year, thousands of kids go missing. Trust me, it's a parent's worst nightmare. When a child goes missing, every moment counts, and you need all of the help you can get. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to locating missing children and bringing them home safely. You can help support their mission by donating your car, truck, van or SUV. A towing company will come and pick up your car for free, running or not, and the donation of your car is tax deductible. Your help is providing the funds they need to continue their services. Call now, donate your old vehicle to Find the Children and get free pickup. Here's the number.
800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. That's 800-670-7830.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Never a positive light when I play this song. Of course, talk the old military taps, saluting the past. People have recently passed. Talk about Phyllis Gary. She is the wife of Brian Gary, the referee, of course, that handled the Vaughn Bean Evander Holyfield fight in Atlanta, Georgia, when he was being assaulted verbally by the aforementioned Butch Lewis and Joe Frazier, who were being called a honky and this kind of stuff. Bottom line is, Brian Gary's wife passed away in the past couple of weeks. She was buried this week. Phyllis was a timekeeper in Florida. I think her last card, she worked June 2024 as a timekeeper. Of course, we with her in Japan
And was it Japan, China, and Macau? I think I went to three different countries with her. Bottom line is, may she rest in peace. And also this week, passed away, my cousin Armando, a couple years younger than me. He looks just like me. In fact, the impeccable one, he looks so much like me that when he committed a crime in 19, whatever the year was, the cops came looking for me. They came to the house for a murder. He got into a beef and some guy got killed, right? And they thought it was me. That's how much I look like him. So they're telling my mother, we want to talk to him about a murder. What are you talking about? Well, he's been in the house for 2 days. And the cop thought that my mother was lying to protect me. But I was home for 2 days. I didn't go anywhere. Bottom line is, they asked me to go out that night. And I said, no, I didn't want to go out with them. They went out and got into a fist fight. And when they lost the fist fight, they couldn't lose the fist fight honorably. They had to go back with weapons. And that was when they went back with weapons and the guy died. He was a Marine. But the bottom line is, may Armando rest in peace. And he died from smoking. His mother died from smoking. His father died from smoking. His oldest sister died from smoking. And now he's died from smoking. What can I say? Man, cancer took out a lot of the other side of the family. No doubt about that. And of course, it took out my mother. Tobacco, cigarette smoking took out my mother, my stepfather, and my uncle. The three closest people to me in my life were taken out by cigarette smoking. So what I'm trying to tell you is, if you smoke, it ain't no joke. Give it up. No doubt about that. And guess what? There are things that can help you give it up. There's nicotine patches. There's all kinds of different things you can take. So if you want to quit smoking, you can. And speaking of smoking, the only thing tougher to kick than smoking are my fat friends. They won't give it up. They're 290 pounds. I keep bringing these guys up and time again because I'm watching guys like the lead singer of Bloodstone, Henry Williams, something like that. He was like 290 pounds, 300 pounds his entire career, right? Then he died. But before he died, he lost all kinds of weight. You know why? He had three strokes and put him in a wheelchair. That's what fat people don't get. That's what my fat friends don't get, is that the future doesn't look good heavy. It just doesn't look good. Bottom line is, I'm done preaching. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The impeccable one has been impeccable today. I thank him so much. I'm talking about the great Bailey Peck. Until next time, keep your hands up. Keep your chin down. Most importantly, keep your butt off the cans of life. This is Ring Talk, a production of Sports Byline.